Welcome to the Floor Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Monday the 17th of September, recording at 9:14 p.m. and that's still British summertime. Now first a quick look at the highlights here today. For once we switched, well, for the first time in a while at any rate, we switched from a risk-on to a risk-off environment here today. We didn't see that much of it in the Asian stock markets. They were mostly steady. And a couple of those ASEAN markets either testing or extending their gains into new high ground for the year. The big exception was China, which gave up a chunk of its gains that had been seen last week here today. But for the most part, the Asian stock markets were really quite firm, and that includes India, where the Bank X index, the bank share index, has really been on a roll recently, mainly in the last couple of days as reserve requirements were lowered. Now, European stock markets all closed with modest losses. I think they're all less than 1%. And for the UK, it's just 0.37%. We had similarly small losses in the US markets and also in the Americas generally. Long-dated government bond prices, which had been quite weak for the last fortnight or more, steadied a bit in here today. The US 10-year bond futures only up 4/32, up 22/32 on the 30-year. Gilts and bunds a little bit steadier. Now, the U.S. dollar, which has been quite weak recently, was a bit firmer in here today. The U.S. dollar index rallied up to 78.96. So that's a small move to the upside by the dollar index, and a lot of that would probably come from, well, some of that came from the euro, which had the euro had surged up this morning to 131.72, and has fallen back to 131.12. Sterling, however, has remained firm at 162.44. The Australian dollar did ease back. That's come down to 104.74. Okay. Big action in some of the precious metals here today. We have seen reactions from some psychological and lateral resistance levels. I mentioned those on Friday, and I'll review them again in a minute. But starting with gold, that's currently down over $11 at $17.59. Silver had a bigger fall, $34.15. That's down $50. And it had been as high as $34.94 early this morning, and it dipped as low as $33.48, say before closing out or trading after hours here at $34.15. Platinum and palladium had somewhat bigger setbacks. Platinum's currently down $50 at $16.64, and palladium is down $19.50 at $6.79 and change, nearly $6.80. Now, in other industrial commodities, the industrial metals were mostly lower. The exception was nickel, which had a moderate gain in here today. But copper, which had been the leader overall, fell 7.75 cents. It's currently at 375.50. The biggest story, though, well, let me just finish with the industrial commodities because we had a sharp pullback in crude oil here today. Remember, that had been really quite strong. And the Brent, which had been up to 117 early today, is now trading at 113.16. That's down 350. And the WTI, which had been up to 99.52, is currently 96.05. That's down nearly $3. So quite a sharp reversal there today. And indeed, the CCI index, that's a continuous commodity index, unweighted index of a number of commodities, had a downward dynamic here today. The biggest mover in the commodities was the limit down move for soybeans, U.S. soybeans. That was sit down, they're down 70 cents in that limit move, bringing them back to 16.69. Wheat and corn also fell sharply, down on corn to 7.48 and wheat down to 8.78. And most of the other agricultural foods were lower as well. Rough rice looks like an exception, up just fractionally. U.S. silver, I beg your pardon, U.S. sugar up 1 cent. And looks like, white sugar was up, but had a tiny, tiny move to the upside as well. Okay, so what's going on overall? Well, what goes up, if it goes up swiftly enough, eventually comes down in markets. And that's certainly what we've seen here today. So in my Friday audio, I talked about a number of overbought short-term conditions, both in stock markets and particularly in commodities, helped by that weak U.S. dollar overall. And we had all of those stimulative measures coming from the ECB and particularly the Fed's surprise decision, really to up the ante. Now, when I say surprise decision, I think that most of us were of the view that we probably weren't going to see much beyond cheerleading. That's the way I described it, from the Fed this side of the U.S. presidential election. But we were wrong on that, and the Fed has announced additional QE3 measures, which amount to about $85 billion a month being pumped into the U.S. economy, both through the Operation Twist and now this buying, which will be primarily of mortgage bonds overall. Now, whether that does much for the U.S. economy remains to be seen, but it certainly ensures a lot more money sort of sloshing around the system, and I assume that the banks will hold on to a fair portion of that. But some of it does leak into the markets overall, and that's what we've seen. Now, that stimulus, which some people are describing as QE in perpetuity, because the Fed is, instead of talking about keeping rates low through or into 2014, is now talking about 2015. So clearly, Mr. Bernanke is concerned about a Japanese-style deflation and is doing his utmost to ensure that we don't see it. Well, we are getting some inflation, clearly, but most of it's coming in the form of asset prices and food prices. So consumers see it in terms of the price of gasoline, petrol, and particularly in food prices. Now, what I would look for here is a consolidation generally of these stock markets. It may well be a shallow consolidation. We don't know yet, of course. But against the background of this overbought condition, it would not be at all surprising to see some sort of pause and a bit additional ranging activity. However, as long as those progressions of higher reaction lows are not violated, excuse me, I would continue to give the upside the benefit of the doubt. Now, in long-dated government bond prices, we have seen them sell down in recent weeks to challenge the 200-day moving averages, which are still moving up, excuse me, and also to challenge potential support from the upper side of previous trading ranges. And the bunds had been weakest among the bond futures prices. Now, they too are, well, where everything else is overbought, they are a little bit oversold. So we saw some steadier action in here today, and again, we may see a little bit more in the way of a bounce. But unless we see some significant upward dynamics, and my hunch is that we won't, certainly not while the stock market remains, or global stock markets remain reasonably steady, then this is unlikely to be more than just a little technical rally for some of those bond futures prices before they resume their test of underlying trading ranges. Now, in currencies, and the US dollar is short-term oversold. It would steady if stock markets and commodities are off the boil for a while, which we may see. So chances are we'll get a bit of an improvement overall in the US dollar, which remains mostly range bound. But I don't see any scope for a major rally by the greenback, and indeed, the Fed's latest moves are intended to help keep the US dollar soft, which would at least assist the export orders and earnings of some US manufacturing companies that are not internationally based. But most of the big, significant autonomy type US manufacturing companies are very well diversified. So QE3 is unlikely to affect them all that much. I mean, I'm in the camp that feels that it's really doing more to sow long-term seeds of inflationary pressures than anything else. Now, returning to the markets, precious metals. I mentioned in my audio on Friday that they had rallied up to a number of round number potential pause levels, and we can list those, or I will list them for you. Gold got up close to, didn't not quite reach the $1,800 level, and it had two previous highs up just above that $1,800 level. And silver rallied up to nearly $35, and it had at least one other high up near that level. Platinum had rallied up to 1,700, where there's some additional lateral trading as well. And palladium had rallied up to $700, where it too has some previous highs and some lateral trading. Now, it was a 4-week sprint to get up to those levels, and while I have described that move as just what one would hope to see out of a base building, support building phase, the prior ranges that we had seen up until 4 weeks ago, these moves are certainly overbought in the short term. You can see that on any of the stochastics indicators. And having rallied back to those round number levels that I just listed, and also to the underside of some previous ranges or near some previous lateral trading, I've been expecting some sort of pause. I didn't know whether that pause, when I mentioned it and discussed it on Friday, I didn't know whether that pause would occur a little below those round number figures that I listed, or on either side of them, or whether or not we'd break through to the upside and then see a pause in consolidation. As of today's action, it looks like the activity is more likely to be slightly lower, or at those levels, or slightly lower. But we only have one day here to the downside, so it's too soon to be definite about that. I did, having lightened a little bit on Friday, I lightened extensively in here today, although I held on to most of my gold while chopping the other precious metals temporarily, just because they are overextended and due for that pause, and also because I wanted to take some cash out of my account. But on a medium-term basis, I remain very much in the bullish camp on these precious metals. My guess is that we will see only small retracements. Let's quantify that. If precious metals clearly hold more than 50% of their gains, their recent gains over the previous 4 weeks, that will not deter many bulls, and actually will encourage people to nibble on the setback, and would suggest that we will see higher levels certainly well before year end. And that's currently my view. So I'm not looking for more than a slower rate of advance for a while, more ranging activity in a support building consolidation phase, well above those trading ranges that defined precious metals activity prior to well, going back to June, July. It was mostly June, July, and August until we started to get the upward breakout in August. And elsewhere, I think we saw sufficient rallies in the industrial metals to suggest that important lows have been seen. The rallies were not as decisive as we saw in precious metals. Copper got the closest, but they were good rallies overall, following really quite significant declines for those industrial metals. The grain and bean complex, the setback that we've seen, corn had looked quite toppy before today's action. Soybeans had seen the biggest move overall, and this huge downward dynamic, taking it back below that $17 level, is a positive development. And all this has contributed just to that downward dynamic that I mentioned on the Continuous Commodity Index, the CCI index. And it would be good to see a little bit of a pause in the inflationary pressures that that was starting to create, not least for crude oil. And I think that's covered the main points that I wanted to discuss with you. So all the best to all of you.